And he himself looses light from within him. That's what the word is. It's the release of who he is and what he can do. And so I'm thankful that we have anointed preachers. I'm thankful for every one of you that loves God's word. And when you listen to preaching, you say amen. You respond to it. You grab it. Because at some point, there will be a word for you. That's how faith is going to come if you don't have faith. Faith comes by you hearing the word about Christ. And once you get faith stirred up in your heart, recognize, interrupt the preacher at any point in time by taking your miracle, by receiving your promise. When you feel faith by what's being preached, it's because it's yours. It's because God said, I'm giving you a word. I gave you this message just for you. And when that happens, that's a special moment, and you grab that. The kingdom of God suffers violence, which literally means it creates violence for itself. And it's the violent that take it by force. The violent kind are the kingdom kind. And that just simply means when there's a violence in your soul and spirit, it's a tenacious seizing of everything that's yours. God is true. And the word of God is true. I just feel like God's called us to proclaim deliverance to the captives. Not better, not you get out of jail for a bit, deliverance. He said, I come to proclaim it. That's what anointing does. I think we have a special time here. Every so often I'll be studying and I'll be thinking about what God wants for Sunday. And then all of a sudden, it vacates, it leaves. And I get either Michael's image or name in my head or Brother Dunn. And it's a without fail procedure. And so either they've already thought about texting me to say, I got a word, can I take it? Or I text them and ask. And it's always, yes, I got something. Did that happen last night? Michael Moore's got a word for us here. And I'm thankful for the word he gives to our children then on Saturdays. But it's nothing compared to when he preaches. And so the anointing of God on that word and on this man of God is going to do something inside of you if you can receive it. So let's receive and let's practice receiving God's word right now by bringing Brother Moore up to the pulpit with our hands clapped and in expectation, on our tiptoes, in expectation.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is so good.
Amen.
And I am so thankful to be a part of his kingdom. I'm so thankful to be called a son. Such a wonderful promise.
Amen.
To know that I'm different than the world.
Yeah.
Through him.
Through him.
And it's because of him that I'm different. It's not because I'm handsome.
Amen.
But it's through him.
Through him.
Amen. So I want to preach. I don't think I'll be very long today, but I want to preach a church of empty vessels.
Hello.
Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 7, 8. And then we may go from there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, says, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You may be seated. A church of empty vessels. Think that obviously God has a plan for each person. He has a will for each person. He desires that you be better today than you were yesterday. And He desires that tomorrow you be better than you were today. That is His ultimate goal for humanity. That's His goal for you. That you do have value to the kingdom of God. That you are important. And that He is your Father and you are His child. And the Bible tells us that if He's your Father, He's going to give you good gifts. An earthly father doesn't give his child a rock when they ask for bread and does not give them a serpent when they ask for fish. He gives them good gifts. How much more does your heavenly Father give you? How much more does He love you than an earthly father could love you? Because some of us might have experienced an earthly father who does not love the way they're supposed to love. That they're not following after the pattern that Jesus laid out for a man to act towards his wife and towards his children. Some of us may have experienced some issues. But that does not change who God is and what He wants to do in your life and through your life. And it does not change the fact that He loves you and that He wants to fill you and that He has created you to hold value. There's such a great anointing in the kingdom of God when you understand I have value to Connect Point. That I am not just an empty vessel. But I have something inside of me that is good. That I have something inside of me that has value. That is going to be better than what is on the outside. I don't care what the vessel looks like. The vessel can be dirty, it can be dingy, it can be beaten, it can be scarred, it can be pristine and beautiful. It does not matter unless there's something inside of that vessel that's good. 2 Kings chapter 4 tells us a story of a woman. And the Bible tells us that she cried because her sons were going to be taken as slaves. She owed money to the creditor. Someone was going to come and ravage her home. How often is it that the enemy will come to ravage your home? That he says, hey, that's going to be mine because you don't have a good grip on it. Or you've made some poor choices and so now you're going to have to suffer these consequences. You've had issues in your life and now you're going to reap what you're going to sow. And you've had problems in your life that you've just let begin to grow. And you've got yourself into a debt and you can't get yourself out of it now. And now the creditor, the enemy, Satan has come to take what he thinks he deserves. We all have found ourselves in that position where we are in debt, in need, we're distressed, we're discomforted, and the enemy shows up and says, yeah, and now I've come to take what's mine. But this woman cries out, and she finds herself Elisha the prophet. Verse 2 tells us that Elisha looks at her and he says, what shall I do for you? Tell me what thou hast in your house. Already, He has a plan. Amen. Already, He's going to say, the miracle that you are going to receive is going to come from something that's already inside of what you've got. Stop looking outside. Stop hunting for whatever answer that you're looking for. If you can't find it inside your house, it's probably not going to work. If you are looking for something today and you're in need of something today, I want to let you know you found it.
that you have found exactly what you have been needing. You found exactly what you've been wanting. You found exactly that peace that you've been asking for, that joy that you've been hunting for, that relationship that you've been longing for. You found it today. It's in the house. You can stop searching. There's such power in understanding that I've got everything I need to be successful inside of me. That I don't have to go searching for something out there. I don't have to look for something else. What I have is going to be enough to get me through the problem, to get me through the situation, to get me through the issue. She says, the only thing I've got is oil. Oil. The only thing I have is anointing. Tell me what more could you want? When you search your house and the only thing you find is, I've got oil that's used to anoint kings. I've got oil that's used to prophesy. I've got oil that's used to do this and do that. He tells her, you've got oil? You've got everything you need. We have a church here of individuals who have been with God for many years. We have people here that I don't know your walk with God, but I'm assuming that you have some idea, some understanding of who He is. But ultimately, I want to ask you, are you an empty vessel today? Are you an empty vessel today? Do you look good? Have you been beat up? Tell me, what's the outside of the vessel look like? And does it matter? Does it matter if you look good? Does it matter if you've got the right words written on the outside or you've got the right label? Does it matter at all? I think what matters is what's inside. And so Elisha tells this woman, you've got everything you need to be successful. Stop worrying about what you have and go out and spread what you have. Collect it. He tells her, go get some vessels from other people that are empty. I've come here today to fill whatever is empty. Whether that be through my word or whether it be through my prayers, I want to fill someone who's empty today. Because I know what I have, and what I have is the power of my Lord Jesus Christ. What I have is anointing. What I have is favor. What I have is joy. If you can stand to your feet and you can understand what I have is good, and I'm getting ready to fill whatever you have that's empty. It's an earthen vessel. It might not look like much, but it's filled with something that's so valuable. It's filled with something that paid the debt that I owed. It's filled with something that's going to prosper. It's filled with something that's so sweet smelling. It's filled with something that's so wonderful and so beautiful. I just want to see, are you full today? Are you in need today of something special? Are you in need today of something good? Are you empty today? Because this woman has a source that will not stop until there are no more vessels to be filled. She has so much oil. So much anointing, so much promise, so much favor that she can continue to pour and pour and pour and pour. And it doesn't stop until she says, give me another empty one. And her son says, hey, we're out. We've filled every vessel that we can find. That's the anointing. That's God. That's what He wants to do in this place, is pour Himself out. You're not going to tap him dry today. You don't have to worry about what problem and what issue and what the vessel looks like. If you can hold what he has for you, he can fill you today. He can fill it. Does not matter. Does not matter how big the vessel. It's not stopping until every vessel is full. So are you a church of empty vessels today? Do you need that anointing today? Do you need to be filled today? John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, in the last day, that great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Rivers. That's not streams. That's not a trickle. That's not just a river, but rivers. Rivers of living water. What God has is so much more than what you can even begin to hold. What God has for you is so much greater than what you could possibly contain. That's why we have it pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Because it doesn't matter how much you take it and smash it in and say, fill me up a little bit more. He says, okay, if there's room, I'll put it. And I'll put more, I'll put more, I'll put more. Until it just begins to flow out of your belly like a living water, like rivers outside of you. Do you want to be filled today? Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That anointing that we're talking about, that joy that we're talking about, that oil that we're talking about that can fill a vessel. Does not matter what the vessel looks like. That is the Holy Ghost. That anointing, that authority, that power is the Holy Ghost. And it wants to be inside of you. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost today. God wants to fill you with His Spirit today. He wants you to experience what it's like to receive a baptism in His power and His authority. He wants you to experience what it's like to be born again, to understand that I'm not the same that I was before I went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not the same that I was before I opened up my mouth and began to speak with a new language that only heaven can understand. That's what He wants to fill you with today. If you're empty, He wants to fill you. If you're hungry, He wants to feed you. If you desire something greater than what you came in with today, my God wants to fill it. My God wants to do it here today. So I don't care what your past is. And I don't care what your issue is. And I don't care about the heartache that you had to have throughout your life. Your sins, your problems, your issues, your concerns, they don't matter when it comes to the kingdom of God and His ability and His power. I don't care about the past. I don't care about the problem. I don't care about the situation. I'm only concerned about, can my God fill me with His power? Can my God fill me with the anointing oil? Acts chapter 2 tells us that these individuals who have spent time with Jesus and they've got to experience what it's like to be around a vessel, the man Jesus, who is filled with all power and authority. They've got to experience that. And that's an amazing thing to experience Jesus. But now these individuals have got to experience Jesus in a whole new way. Because they've got to experience Him without the restraints of a physical body. They've got to experience Jesus without Jesus saying, "Hey, I think we need to take a little break here and rest." They've got to experience Jesus without Him having to stop over here and go to this city. But they get to experience Jesus in complete raw form.
Amen. Amen.
Which is the Holy Ghost. As it comes into their life and begins to fill them. And now they're just like Jesus, the man. Who their only restraint is the physical body. Because they've been filled with what He had. The only restraint you have today is your physical body. The only thing that's going to keep you from getting filled today is your physical body. The only thing that's going to keep you from receiving what God has for you is if you, in your flesh, decide, "I don't think I need that as bad as I want this over here." Or, "What this is over here cannot compare with what's over here." Or, "The issue that I have is too big for God." Or, "The problem just doesn't seem like it's going to be taken care of in the Word of God." Or, "The answer really isn't found in the Scripture." The only thing that's going to keep you from getting filled today is doubt. That's the only thing that's going to keep God from coming into your life and beginning to change it and make it better than what it was before. The only thing that's going to stop it is the earthen part of the vessel. That's the only thing that's going to keep you from receiving what you have. When those people saw Jesus ascend up into glory and they're staring up there and they're so amazed, and finally an angel has to come and say, "Hey, do what He told you to do and go to Jerusalem." The only thing that keeps them there is their body looking up. Because I'm so enthralled with what just happened. And we can be enthralled by the atmosphere that's here. And we can be enthralled by what people are doing and what people are saying. And we can be enthralled with how they worship and how they raise their hands. But if you never make it to the place where you're in an upper room and you say, "Come and fill me now." You can still be standing on the mountain waiting for Jesus to come back. Because that's an awesome scene when you read about it. That's an amazing thing to see a man just lift up. To see God's presence just go up into the air. I don't know about you, but I definitely would linger. I'd definitely be like, "Okay, so is He going to come back now? Or is something going to happen?" But the instruction that they were given was go to Jerusalem and wait. And you and I, we can get so caught up in the music. We can get so caught up in the praise. We can get so caught up in what's going on around us that we just stay exactly the same as we were. And we just stay earthy. And we just stay empty. Or we'll get something, but it's not enough to fill us. It certainly won't be pressed down. It certainly won't be shaken. And it certainly won't be running over. God's presence is so good that you can come in to this place without having any understanding or any knowledge of who He is and how much He loves you, and you can leave here feeling so good and so empty. So how is it possible to be in the presence of God and not get filled? You just get so caught up looking. Wow, there's such an atmosphere that's here. Wow, I feel so good here. I feel loved here. I feel the presence of God here. And you leave and it's gone just like that. Because you've not been filled. You're still empty. At that point, You've just worked on your outside, and maybe you've polished that vessel up a little bit, and maybe you've wrote some scriptures on it here and there, and it looks good, but on the inside it still is empty. We have to be full. Have to be full of what He wants to give us. And what He wants to give you and me is so good. What He wants to do in your life is so much better than what you've had before. I don't know how many times I've said this, but if you've experienced God, if you've experienced a church and you leave that church and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, or you feel slimy, or you feel gross afterwards, or you don't feel good after it, then what you thought you experienced was not God. Because the Bible tells me that He's good and He's sweet. And I taste it and I know He's good. And so I don't know what your history is, and I don't know what your past is, and I don't know what things you've experienced before in God. But if you feel like, you know, God just didn't do it for me right there the way He should have, you probably didn't get the real God. Because my God is good. My God tastes good. My God has a banquet prepared for me. My God has a meal prepared for me. My God has oil prepared for me. And He wants to fill you today. So today you will be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you have never spoken tongues before, you can speak in tongues today. It takes repentance. That's the first thing. And the most important thing. And all repentance is I don't want to be the way that I am right now. And I'm sorry for everything that brought me to the moment right here. You say, I'm sick and tired of living my life defeated. I'm sorry that I've been doing things that have been leading me astray from You. And you mean it in your heart. You confess it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart. That's where salvation comes from, is when I open up my mouth and I begin to realize I am not okay just being a vessel. I am not okay just being earthy. I am not okay just looking good and polishing the outside and making sure that I don't have any cracks and that I set myself aside. You can be good and not godly. Come on, come on. You can look good and experience good things in your life and make good decisions and not get yourself into problems and not be one little ounce of godly. And so you have to understand that no matter how good you think you are, you also have to understand that you can be a mess and a wreck and still get God's glory. That your life can be in absolute turmoil and things can be broken and you don't know how it's going to work or how it's going to happen. If you can say, I understand that, and I understand how good I am. I don't care what side of the spectrum you're on. Amen. You need to be able to recognize that by myself, I am not enough. I can't be the husband that I need to be. I can't be the father that I need to be. I can't be the friend, the co-worker, the employee that I need to be just on my own. I need something else. That's repentance. Understanding that I am broken and I do not want to be broken anymore. And so I'm going to stop doing the things that have made me broken. And I'm going to start pursuing after Him. That's it. That's all you need. It's repentance. It's sincerity. It's knowing I have messed up. I have messed up. I failed. I've made mistakes. There are good things in our life and we can celebrate them. But repentance is understanding I am not enough. It doesn't matter how big the vessel is. It doesn't matter how good it is. It doesn't matter how broken it is. The vessel alone does nothing. The only thing, we don't dust in our house. Some people dust. We don't. So we have dust. We have pots that sit up on our little counter, up on top of our shelves. And when you go and look in those pots, what do you see? Dust. Not oil. You see nothing but dirt. Because it's not flowing. It's not running over. It's empty. And so it doesn't matter that those vessels look nice and that they're pretty and that they coordinate. They are useless because they don't hold anything except for the dirt that collects inside of them. And so your vessel, if it's not filled with oil, if it's not running over, if it's not experiencing a newly cleansing flow of Jesus Christ entering in every day, it's got dirt on top. It's not clean. I'm not going to drink from that cup because it's dirty. So it doesn't matter if it looks good, if it's empty. We have to be full of the Holy Ghost. Evidence, speaking with other tongues. And it's a gift, the Bible calls it. And so it's not something I have to earn. It's just something I have to acknowledge. It's something that I just have to understand. I'm dirty. I don't want to be dirty. There's a way for me not to be dirty. I'm going to take that route instead of going off and doing whatever other thing that has been making me dirty. That's it. That's the Holy Ghost. You're filled. Evidence. Speaking with other tongues. And so if you've never experienced that today, the power of God is here, the anointing is here, and faith is here. Faith is here. There are people here that believe that when you come to the front of this altar, you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking with other tongues. I believe that wholeheartedly. There's not a doubt in my mind that God wants to do it in your life today. That He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost today. That He wants to go into your life, no matter how big a crack, no matter how big an open door you're going to give Him. You give Him one little bit, and it's just like a rush of water. And the next thing you know, it goes from that trickle to a little bit more and a little bit more. And the door has been blown open with the presence of God. And everything is changed because now you're made new and you're clean and things are better and you have a different outlook in life. And all of a sudden, this world doesn't make any sense the way that you thought it made sense before. Because you're not looking at it through the eyes of an earthy vessel anymore. You're looking at it through the eyes of someone who's been filled with God's power and God's authority. So we're just going to take a little bit of time. And if you have never received the Holy Ghost, if you have never spoken with other tongues, I want you to be bold enough. I want you to be hungry enough to say, I want that. In my faith and your act of faith, when those two things meet, it will happen. So if you've never received the Holy Ghost, if you've never spoken in tongues before, I want you to come up front. And it happens so fast. Before we do that, we're going to repent. Just everyone. So stand with me. And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to begin to think. And begin to analyze your life. And look at it. The easiest way you can do that is the Bible says that you're victorious. The Bible says that you can have joy. The Bible says that you don't have fear. That you have peace when you lay down at night. The Bible tells us that we are a blessing to the world that's around us. If you think about that, and then begin to think about your life, and is your life doing what I just said? Is it bringing joy to those that are around you? Do you have peace when you lay down at night? Are you afraid that something is going to happen? And you just begin to talk to God. And you begin to say, I am sorry for the things that I have done. It just has to be sincere. You just have to mean it. And accept the fact that when you say, Lord, I am sorry, His response will always be, you're forgiven. It does not matter what you confess. It does not matter the sin. The answer when you say, I'm sorry for what I have done, is always, you're forgiven. There is no other option. You're forgiven. And the Spirit of God begins to move. And it begins to work in your life. And you might feel tears and you might feel emotion. You might not feel that. But that does not mean that God is not moving. And that God has not forgiven you. You might feel conviction of, oh my word, I shouldn't have done that. There are so many men and women in the Bible that we read about who are confronted by God and they realize, oh my word, I've messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I've made a mistake. And when that conviction happens, some of them fall on their knees and say, forgive me. And God says, you're forgiven. Others say, no, I'm not doing that. And they go out and try and live their life. And in several of the circumstances, it doesn't go too well for them. They end up losing their life through whatever circumstance that happens to come their way. Because in that moment of repentance, where God's love begins to overshadow you, and you begin to feel that conviction of, I need to be different than the way I am now. Yeah. You either say, okay, I believe it. You've forgiven me. I'm sorry. Or you just continue to look up at the sky. And you just say, wow, that was awesome. I felt something. I just saw Jesus go up into heaven. And you still are waiting. There's an entire race of people that are still waiting. When's he coming? When's he coming? Because there's never been that moment where I'm not enough. I need something more. And so if you've repented, if you feel that, God loves me. Because that's what you should feel after repentance. You should not feel condemnation. You should not feel, oh man, I'm such a dirtbag. You should not feel, oh man, I just wish that he'd forgive me a little more. What you should feel is God's love. What you should understand is that he's forgiven you and that he loves you. And so if you feel that right now, this is that moment where I want you to have faith. And I want you to step out. And I want you to come up here. And we're going to pray for you. And you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. Like that. That's how fast it's going to happen. It's going to take the distance from there to here. And God will fill you. Because it's a promise and a gift. And you've repented. And you feel His love. And so now, we're just waiting. We're just waiting now. Because now, you're just like those disciples standing on that mountain. Wow. That felt so good. That was amazing. And they would have stood there and stood there and stood there if it was not for somebody saying, hey, stop that and come up here. And so if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, stop that and come up here. Because it'll happen. I promise it'll happen. It'll happen. It just takes faith. It just takes an understanding of He loves me. He wants to fill me. He wants to make me different. That's it. So I am going to go back here and I'm going to pray. And when someone comes up here, I'll turn around. You'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because it's completely up to you. Because I know what my God is able to do. And so I'm going to go celebrate His power and His authority over your life and over my life. And when you're ready, this altar is open.